Tom Andrews, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Levon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, over the last several years, you've led a very interesting science project, an archaeological project in the mountains of the Northwest Territories near the Yukon border. Tell me what you were looking for.
Well, we've been focusing on high alpine ice patches. These are bits of annual snowfall that doesn't melt off during the summertime and accumulates over millennia. They're always on the north face of the mountains. They're protected from summer sun there. And they're usually between 5 and 7,000 feet in elevation. So quite high in the highest mountains along the Rocky Mountain chain, along the Yukon NWT border. These ice patches are critical summer caribou habitat. During the day, hot summer days, the caribou will eat in lower elevations, and as the day warms and the insects, those parasitic biting insects get bad, the caribou climb up into the high alpine and seek out these ice patches to bed down to cool off and to find some relief from these from the insects. Thousands of years ago, and not only here in Canada but around the circumpolar north, in similar settings, hunters figured out how that this was a regular behavior of caribou and began to exploit this. In the Northwest Territories, we've learned that they would choose mountains that had fairly rounded tops. They were easier for the humans to climb up over the top, and they would come up the back of the mountain, crest the top of the mountain, and there would be the caribou within the effective range of their older dart-throwing technology and more recent bow and arrow technology right at the mountaintop on the ice patch. They would kill caribou and use that, of course, for food and other resources, clothing and tools and whatever. But in the process, they would misplace bits and pieces of their hunting gear, which would become embedded in the next annual snowfall and eventually into the ice as these things developed, the ice patches developed. And now, because of global climate change, the ice patches are melting back, exposing evidence that caribou have been using them for thousands of years, but also evidence that hunters have been exploiting these environments as well. And as archaeologists, we go in on an annual basis and collect the most recently melted artifacts, which typically tend to be bits and pieces of very ancient darts or more recent evidence of bow and arrow hunting technologies.
How old are these artifacts?
Well, the oldest one that we have in the Northwest Territories dates to 6,000 years ago. It's a piece of birch dart. There were two primary hunting technologies. Dart-throwing technology, which was older. In fact, it's a technology that humans have used for thousands and thousands of years. There's images of these things in Paleolithic cave paintings in France, so they're very, very old. The technology is very old. They would use a stick about as long as your forearm with a peg at the far end, and into that peg they would notch a long, long dart and then use the stick as an extra lever in their arm to propel these darts at very hard forces and fast speeds. And this technology was used around the world and in these mountain settings as well. We now know, based on the research that we've been doing, that that technology was essentially entirely dropped about 1,000 years ago and replaced by bow and arrow technology. So we have dart throwing technology from 6 millennia to 1,000 years ago, and then bow and arrow technology after that.
Now, you were able to use some of the traditional knowledge, both to find ice patches that where to look for this, implements and stuff like that, but also to interpret some of the things that you found. Tell me more about it.
Well, we began with kind of a large puzzle. The phenomenon of ice patch archaeology had first been recorded in our neighboring territory, the Yukon, in the late 1990s. And once they began publishing their work, we began to wonder, well, is the same phenomenon existing in our mountain systems in the Northwest Territories? But there's 144,000 square kilometers of mountainous terrain in the Northwest Territories, and you know, that begs the question, where do you begin? So we took a kind of a two-pronged approach. We first looked at satellite imagery to see if we could find the evidence of these remnant ice patches. But then we immediately also initiated a partnership with the Tilita Dene Band. They are mountain Dene. They're called, their name is Shuta Utene. And they have historically lived and occupied the Mackenzie and Selwyn Mountains. And elders are very, very knowledgeable about those environments. And we worked with one particular elder, a man named Leon Andrew. And with his help, we were able to find, we were able to better understand the behavior and actions of caribou in the area, but also understand hunting practices as well. And by combining those, we were able to isolate certain ice patches that had a higher probability of finding artifacts on them.
So the ones with the round tops, the mountains where the tops were rounder, that's something that was hinted to you by the by this elder?
It was. I mean, as a young boy, his father would tell him when hunting in the mountains, it's important to climb high and then stay high. And really the only way that you can do that is to choose these kinds of mountains where you can walk long distances along their rounded backs and keep high and be able to look down the mountain as opposed to trying to come up the mountain. If you were to approach the caribou from below, as he taught us, of course they would see you and scatter and you wouldn't have a chance, but it was only by being above them that you would have a better chance to hunt them. So that bit of traditional knowledge was critical to us being successful in our work.
So you have found things like arrow points, shafts of arrows, darts. Is that correct?
Yes, we have. And, you know, the preservation is really the remarkable part of this. So we find we found a broken arrow over a period of 2 years. The feathers were still they were laying right beside the nock end of the arrow shaft, and a stone projectile point was still tied on with sinew and glued in with spruce gum at the other end. So these things are in incredible state of preservation, and that has opened up all sorts of new knowledge for us about these very ancient hunting technologies.
Well, tell me about that. What do these things tell us about the these people who had occupied these lands for the millennia?
Well, I mean, you know, it's quite a remarkable moment when you find one of these things. You've climbed out of a helicopter and climbed down onto the ice patch. The caribou, of course, have been feeding on these resting on these things for millennia and releasing the food that they'd eaten during the day. So the outside edges of these ice patches are thick layers of caribou dung that have melted out of the ice, and it's in that dung that we find the artifacts. And so as you're walking along in these the accumulated dung, you come across a very beautiful made arrow shaft that looks like a piece of dowel you might find at a local hardware store. It's made so well. And to pick it up and hold it and to realize that somebody, had the appropriate knowledge and skills to be able to select not any kind of wood, but just the particular kind of wood that's used in that arrow shaft, and then fashion it to such a skillful level using nothing more than stone tools. It's quite remarkable. We've also learned quite a bit about the technologies themselves. So, you know, we'd always struggled in archaeology, especially in the subarctic of North America, where preservation is generally very poor, to understand the difference between different hunting techniques. So whether people use darts or bow and arrow, for example. But the ice patch archaeology has given us an incredible insight into that change, and we've been able to radiocarbon date the change very precisely to about 1,000 years ago. And then finally, it's taught us about how people choose certain kinds of raw materials and how those kinds of raw materials are also embedded in the knowledge of the indigenous people in the area.
So things like feathers, what kind of feathers to use for the fletching?
Unfortunately, we've not been able to identify the species of the bird, but we know from traditional knowledge that two species were preferred. Eagle feathers were preferred to because of their size and their the feathers, the fletching for the arrows is quite prominent, so you need a larger bird to do it. But the one bird that was preferred over all others was the owl, and elders would tell us that they used those feathers because the arrows would fly silently like the owl does. And so the feathers that we found are from a very large, darkly colored bird, and either one of those birds sort of fits that mode. There's another interesting story, though, too. One of the dart shafts that we found, it dated to 2,400 years ago. When we identified the wood species, we were surprised to find that it was made from Saskatoonberry. Here in the Northwest Territories, we're right at the northern end of the distribution of Saskatoonberry, and it's a hardwood, and therefore, a very good wood to choose to use for making arrow shafts or dart shafts. But we were doubly surprised when elders began telling us traditional stories about a culture hero who the Mountain Dene call Yamunja, a very, very important person in their history, who at some stage in his life, he encountered a family and wanted to marry this family's daughter, and to sort of assess whether or not he was of good stock, the father of the daughter ordered him to collect materials to make a bow and arrow. And, of course, unbeknownst to the culture hero, the family was actually trying to kill him, so they would send him off to these places to collect stone or wood or feathers. And in each place, there was a giant monster or some creature that was probably going to kill him. And in these stories, it's remarkable that the wood that he's directed to go and collect is Saskatoonberry. So here we had a direct correlation between the archaeological record, where we had recovered a Saskatoonberry shaft that dated 2,400 years old, and a story from oral tradition still told today that is probably just as old.
Interesting. Fascinating. What does this say in general about the way the climate, the landscape has changed in these thousands of years, or hasn't changed?
Well, one of the things that we were also able to do was to collect. The caribou have left lots of evidence there with their dung and other remains, bones and fur, etc. And we've collected all of these biological resources as well. And our partner scientists, Jennifer Galloway, Brandon Letts, and others who have looked at the genetics and evidence of paleo environments in sort of contained within these biological samples, we now know that these environments were very stable for 5,000 to 6,000 years. There's been virtually little change in those things. So caribou populations have been healthy and unchanged, and the environment, we can tell by pollen records contained in the dung and samples we take from the ice patches that the environment has remained relatively stable as well. One of the shocking things in our work was in coring, taking ice cores from these ice patches, we're able to extract stratified layers of caribou dung in the ice and radiocarbon date them and show that the ice patches themselves are of the same age as some of the samples we're finding. So they go back 5,000 to 6,000 years. And since we've begun this work in 2005, several of these ice patches have melted out entirely. In fact, one of them we sampled in 2007 by taking an ice core. The bottom date, so the oldest layer in that ice patch, was almost 4,000 years old, suggesting that the ice patch had been relatively stable for 4,000 years. It melted out in the next 5 years.
Hmm.
So the impact of climate change is current, and it's quite dramatic as well.
Demandris, do you see this phenomenon in other places around the world?
Yes. Basically, anywhere where you have mountainous environments, caribou or reindeer populations, and human hunters in the area, we see the same thing. So ice patch archaeology is being undertaken in Norway quite extensively. There, reindeer, of course, are the species, and you know, right up through almost modern times, through the Iron Age, through Viking occupations, whatever, all of these human groups were exploiting reindeer on the ice patches. Interestingly, in those areas, we know too that from Sami herders and others who herd reindeer today, they would use this exact same behavior and move their reindeer herds into the mountains during summertime so that the reindeer could seek these ice patches out as well. So we've learned quite a bit about the about ice patch archaeology by looking at the practice of Sami reindeer herders. Other parts of the world, we're seeing similar archaeology showing up around Yellowstone National Park in the continental United States. In Alaska, Yukon, ice, of course, is melting in other parts of the world in the Swiss Alps. And although it's not revealing evidence of reindeer hunting, it is revealing lots of evidence of humans transiting high alpine passes and leaving behind extensive records there as well. So as ice melts in the circumpolar north, archaeologists are scrambling in many jurisdictions to try and record the fragile artifacts that are being exposed before they're lost.
Now, what's next? What are you working on for the next year?
Well, we're continuing to monitor these things because as they melt every year, there's a chance that new artifacts might be exposed. But we're also looking at other types of archaeology in the Mackenzie Mountains and Selwyn Mountains as well. Last summer, we focused on another caribou hunting strategy, one used in historic times. And these hunting strategies or these hunting features were constructed at lower elevations and below the ice patches, but in the same mountains. We were looking at caribou fences. So these are large, kilometer-long fence structures that are used to channel the caribou to an ambush location, and the remnants of these still lay on the ground, and we were in studying those last summer, and we hope to continue both that work and the ice patch work in coming years.
Thank you very much. This is fascinating.
Oh, thank you. That's a pleasure talking with you.